Well, a warm welcome to everyone to our end of year praise service. We plan to have a cup of tea after the meeting, and that'll just be served in here, so you're very welcome to stay for that. This evening we have 10 different items of praise, and 10 different men are going to be introducing those items of praise, and I am not any one of those 10 men, so I'm just up here at the start. And then I'll be going and sitting down, and I want to thank the 10 men who are going to be introducing the Psalms. And for those benefit of those men, I just ask you to come up to the front when it comes to your time. The order, the running order. This is the order of the Psalms. So it's Alan Kennedy, and then William Christie, and then Daniel Kennedy, then Donald Pinkerton, and then we're over to, I can't see that board from here, but there's a board over there, and it's Donald Pinkerton, William Hanna, Robert Pinkerton, Harold Kerr, Raymond Christie, Michael Kennedy, and then this morning I was asked if I needed to do anything. And there was a blank left for the last psalm, and I said I could introduce the last psalm if need be, but someone volunteered to do it, and actually picked the very psalm that I would have done if I had been doing it. So thanks to Reverend Robert Hanna, who was keen to introduce Psalm 117. So that's why they're all in order except the last one, and that's why 117 comes after 119 rather than before it. So Robert will bring our time to a close in prayer, and if you could give thanks for the supper, Robert, when you do that. So the other men can just come forward and come to the lectern here, and there's a piece of paper stuck to the lectern that has the tune. So your name is on the left-hand side, your psalm is there, and the tune number. So if you can remember to announce the tune number, and if not, Jennifer, you can shout it out. Okay. So we thank those who have prepared to introduce a psalm, whether it's just a psalm that they like, or it's a psalm that has been particularly significant in their lives. It's good to come together and to sing God's praise. So I'm just going to lead us in prayer now, and then we'll proceed through the 10 psalms that we're going to be singing, and then Robert will close in prayer, and then there'll be a short gap before the supper is ready, and it'll be served up here at the front. So let's join together in prayer as we come to God. If you're able, please stand now as we pray. Lord, your word tells us, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we acknowledge, O Lord, that you are great indeed. We are not great, but you are great. And you are great every day, and we praise you for your greatness. And we come together this evening with a view to singing your praises. And Lord, we know that that's a good thing to do. We thank you for the words that you have given us to guide us in our praise. We ask that you help the men who will introduce the psalms that we'll be singing. We thank you for these words that we will sing, and we pray that we will be able to rejoice in the truth of these words. We pray that we will be able to sing these words from our heart, and we praise you that on this last Lord's Day of the year, we can come together and unite our hearts and voices in the praise of Almighty God. We give thanks, O Lord, that you have been wonderfully good to us. We thank you for the many good days that you've given to us. We thank you, O Lord, for your strength that you've granted in the days that we wouldn't class as being good days. We praise you for helping us to get through the different things that you have appointed for us in the days of this year. And Lord, we ask that you will help us now as we meet, not to do anything for our good or for our benefit, but we meet to sing your praises. And we thank you that we can do so. We thank you for a place that where we can gather. And we pray that you will bless our time of fellowship together. We pray that you help the men who will introduce the Psalms. And we pray that they will be blessed even as they do that. Lord, hear our prayers now. Work among us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that we will be able to delight in praising you at this time. We ask all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, yes, okay. We will be standing for some and we will be sitting for others. So I'll let Jennifer say which ones. In theory, we're standing for the first one and then sitting for two and then standing for the fourth, sitting for two, standing for the seventh, sitting for two, and standing for the last. So that would be four standings and six sittings. But I want to welcome those who are not normally with us here this evening. I see we have some visitors with us, and you're very welcome. And I hope you will be able to stay and enjoy the tea afterwards. So the first person to introduce the first of our Psalms then is one of our elders, Mr. Alan Kennedy, and he's the first of three generations of Kennedys that we have this evening. Daniel, his grandson, is following on, and Michael, his son, is later on. So Alan Kennedy is the first.
First psalm, and there's just the first psalm, Psalm 19a. This psalm has blessed me, and I've been encouraged with it. What the Lord has said that He'll do for us, and how that He has done so many things for me in my time. As you read and sing this psalm, it gives a wonderful picture of God's creation. Many times we have took a drive along the coast road, and often stopped to take in the beauty of God's creation there. The beauty of God's creation can teach us many things. God has His work is displayed, and if we let ourselves be taught by God's creation, there is a wealth of knowledge to be found in all of this. We experience His love for us. Now, Psalm 19, verses 1-3. The spacious heavens declare the glory of our God. The wide expanse displays His handiwork abroad. From day to day they utter speech. From night to night they acknowledge teach. They do not speak aloud. They utter forth no word. Nor into language break. Their voice is never heard. Yet through the world their line extends. Their words in earth's remotest end. In heaven He sets a tent, a dwelling for the sun, which as a mighty man delights His race to run. He bridegrooms like in full array, comes from His character bringing day. So that is Psalm 19. 1-3. The tune is Clarksville 220.
The glory of Good evening, folks. Harold, just like to say thank you for offering me this chance just to do this tonight. My psalm I have chosen is Psalm 40. So it is. The psalm starts off with, I waited longing patiently. Well, that's one thing I don't have is patience. And I would say my daughters, as we learnt this for Sabbath school, so we did, would understand that daddy doesn't have much patience whenever you ask them over and over again. But somehow or other, the Lord came to me and patiently he did come, so he did. If we go on down through into verse 2, this relates to me in the building industry, so it does. He pulled me from a pit of fear and from mud and clinging clay. I work in an industry and sometimes we're in the mud and the clinging clay. And I suppose that's like a journey in life. So it is. Whenever that clay gets a hold of you and that mud, it sucks you down into the rat race of life. But this tune, folks, to me, says it all. So it does. Whenever the Lord lifts you out of that rat race of life and sets you on to the foundation. And after I can get the foundations put in, it's a blessing to walk around the site and level footing, so it is, and not have that mud clinging on you, sucking you down in. And sometimes you're looking at the site going, I need to get to that far end, but I have to walk the whole way around just to avoid that mud and clinging clay, so it is. But whenever them foundations goes in and I'm fit to take that path straight down, so to the men that's working and they're going, oh no, he can be there in 2 minutes instead of taking 5 or 10 minutes. Also, folks, it says here in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth. Well, I'm afraid he didn't, because I don't take after my granny Christy. My granny Christy could sing, and that's one thing I haven't been blessed with. So, Lord, if you're listening tonight, at least put one note into me, says. But, folks, as we stand here now, I take it that's Bellamia, is the tune, and it's Psalm is 40 and it's verses 1 to 4 and the tune is 47, it says.
So
Tonight I've chosen Psalm 55, verses 12 to 14, and then 17 and 18. And first in this part of the psalm, we see a ransom paid and peace given. In our lives, Christ has paid the ransom for our soul and has brought us peace with God. A simple statement, but we'll spend all eternity marveling at it. And then next we see God's control. In a year of saddening laws and political mess, it can be easy to ask, where is God in all of this? But verse 14 shows us exactly where God is, and he is where he's always been, enthroned over the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And it's because of this that we have verse 17 calling on us to rely on God. And in the past year, and indeed my whole life, we've found verse 17 to be true in Clarats. We've seen many that were sick and injured healed, and we've seen the bereaved sustained, and we've seen others return that we never even thought would come. And lastly, in verse 18, we see justice. For the Christian, we see what we've been ransomed from, which should make us thankful towards God. But for the unsaved, we see what the end is. And if you reject such an offer of salvation. So we'll now sing verses 12 to 14 and then 17 and 18, and finishing in verse 14, singing in truth, "But I will trust in you." So that's to the tune Constellation. Is that what it's?
Thank you. Psalm 72, first verse. O God, your judgments give the king, his son, your righteousness. With right may he, your people, judge your poor with uprightness. And this verse refers to the king. Well, we have a queen who is greatly respected the world over. She is an amazing woman at age 93. Though she has no power, she's only a figurehead. We have to admire the way she conducts herself and carries out her duties at the opening of Parliament and her Christmas broadcast. Well, then, where the government we have, we're urged to pray for them, pray for those in authority over Ireland. Verse 3. May he, the people's poor, defend the needy's children, bless, and may he crush completely those who would the poor oppress. We have to pray that they would defend the afflicted, save the children, crush the oppressor, deliver the needy, take pity on the weak. As citizens, we need to pray for our leaders that they will govern well and implement God's values of mercy, justice, peace, and love. But we all know that earthly governments come and go. But then in verse 14 to 16, we read that God's kingdom will last for all eternity. I came into membership of this church during James Blair's ministry. There were 8 of us in the membership class at that time, but only 2 of us are still members here. The communion service was a very solemn occasion, and but a time of rich blessing. And we always sang the last 3 verses of this psalm at the close of the service. So we will now sing Psalm 72, verses 1 to 3 and 14 to 16. And the tune is Effingham, number 80. Let us praise God.
Thank you.
My psalm choice is Psalm 73, the B version, and we're going to sing the whole psalm. As we come to near the end of another year, we can look back at some of the things that have happened in our congregation and in our lives throughout this past year. Some of the things has been good things. Some of them has been sad things. Some of us have graduated, have moved on from an educational to a work life. Some in the congregation have had big birthdays with zeros in the end. Some have retired and they're enjoying their retirement. So some, these things have all been good things, but then some have had a hard year in our congregation. Some of us had sicknesses, ongoing sicknesses, and some of us had lost loved ones. We're living in a time of uncertainty to do with Brexit. We have no government here in Northern Ireland, and laws are being forced on us that are in conflict with God's word. So many things have changed, some for good, some for bad, since this time last year, and there will be many new things that will change in the year ahead. But we have one thing that never changes. God is always with us, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has told us that he will never leave us or forsake us. And in good times or in difficult times, our focus needs to be on God and his presence with us. God helps us through the difficult times. And verse 1, the psalmist is pleased to have God with him. And he says, nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. And in bad times and in good times, God holds us by our right hand. If we keep God close to us, we can live lives that without fear. And we have a wonderful future if we live each day of our life for God. We have a wonderful future ahead of us. The psalmist says in verse 2, thou with thy counsel while I live, if we follow God's laws as laid down in God's word, he will conduct and guide us, and to thy glory afterwards receive me to abide. We have a wonderful future if we live our lives for God. And when we're entrusting on God, we need nothing else. In verse 3, whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire besides thee, there is none. And in times of weakness and frailty, God is the one that we need to look to. And verse 4, my flesh and heart doth faint and fail, but God doth fail me never. For of my heart, God is the strength and portion forever. And in verse 5 or 6, we have two very contrasting lifestyles. In verse 5, we see the fate of the person that has no time for God. For lo, they that are far from thee forever perish shall. Them that are whoring from thee go, thou hast destroyed all. But let us pray to God that we'll be included as the person in verse 6. But surely it is good for me that I draw near to God. In God I trust that all thy works I may declare abroad. So it's good for us to draw near to God. So praise God now in this psalm. We'll sing the whole psalm, Psalm 73b, and the tune as well, Wiltshire 178. Let us praise God.
Yeah. Next psalm is Psalm 75. This is a psalm which opens with thanks and praise, and I thought this was appropriate for a Thanksgiving service. As we reach the end of another year, do we give thanks to God for all he has done to us? Too often we just take things for granted. We just keep pedaling along at the usual pace, and sometimes it takes the start of a new year to reflect on all that God has done for us. And are we depending on God or are on our own strength? Too often we become proud. In today's world, often pride is seen as a good thing. That's, you know, it's what I have accomplished. It's all about me. But we're reminded that in ourselves there is nothing we can do. It is in God's strength that he helps us and guides us and leads us, so that we should know this, as we see that's in stanzas 4. And then later on in the psalm, we see God will judge with fairness. People often shout about justice and fairness, but too often is bent and misshapen into what people want, their own desires, and not really what is fair for all. But God sees and God knows. He is in control. And though it may seem that the wicked have an easy life, and that following God seems the difficult way, and yet he tells us that the wicked will be cut off, and he will rise up the righteous. And that's in stanzas 6. But are we prepared for the judgment that is coming? Many have scoffed and mocked about this, but we are warned that the judgment will come and we need to be ready. Are we prepared to step forward in this new year and in this new decade ahead? So let's sing Psalm 75, and we're singing to the tune Evan, and that's 85. Let's praise God.
Thank you. Our next psalm is Psalm 95. We will be singing verses 1 to 6 to the tune Irish 101. This psalm is a call to worship and obedience. It turns our attention and affections towards God and helps us in our thinking and practice regarding true worship. God is to be at the centre of our adoration and praise. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist exhorts us to rejoice. O come and let us to the Lord, in songs our voices raise. With joyful shouts, let us the rock of our salvation praise. To meet him with our thanks, let us approach before his face. With joyful shouts, let us to him bring now our psalms of praise. Four times we read in these verses the words, let us. So the worship that is encouraged is collective and congregational. These verses refer to a vocal, public praise of God. It is a joyful, grateful praise. In verses 3 and 4, the sovereignty of God is given as the basis for worship. The God's a great God. The Lord's a great God and great King. Above all gods he is, in whose hand are the depths of earth, the mountain peaks are his. To him the sea belongs, for he it made by his command, and he the dry land fashioned by the working of his hands. God is sovereign over all his creation, from the lowest valley to the highest hills, from the sea to the dry land. God's hands formed them. What God made is his, and what is his, he controls. The world is not only the work of his hands, it is in his hands. These are comforting words for us as we enter a new year and we don't know how things will work out in our nation. God knows what the future holds for us. The invitation to humble worship is contained in verses 5 and 6. We are to kneel before the Lord our Maker. We are to worship God humbly, accepting his loving care. We are his sheep, the people of his shepherding. The Lord is our shepherd when we obey his command to worship him and trust him. In the remainder of the psalm, there is a solemn warning to those who reject worship. God warns people of the danger of hardening their hearts, like the Israelites did during the Exodus when God led them into the wilderness. The New Testament makes it clear that this psalm applies as much to men and women of our time as it did in ages past. Verse 7, today if you will hear his voice. Every day is today. We must persist and persevere in worshipping, trusting and obeying God. Today God is offering us his rest. We will sing verses 1 to 6 now and praise to God.
Amen. Psalm 116. I chose this psalm because it means to me the heart and soul of a living faith in Christ. The psalm tells us that God cares for us each day of our lives. He is a gracious and merciful God who loves us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, We love him because he first loved us, and it is a joy to sing the psalms as we worship God in our service each Lord's Day. We'll now sing Psalm 116, verse 1 to 6, Chin Kilmarnock, a favourite of mine, 106.
Our next psalm is Psalm 119, part 20. The first verse there, see my afflictions, rescue me, for I, your law, do not forget. O plead my cause, I may redeem, true to your word, revive me yet. The psalmist testifies, he has remembered thine ordinance from of old, O Lord, and comfort himself. And spirit your memories, build families because experience. Spirit your memories, build the family, because experiences of blessing and deliverance brings us together. And we support each other through thick and thin. And so it's true for us as church family to pray and support one another in the daily trials that we face. As we go into another year, may God bless us as we walk in his ways. We will now sing Psalm 119, To the Chin in Christ Alone.
Rescue me, for you know to love. Psalm 117, two verses only. How many words in the New King James Version in the prose, which we use in the Pew Bible? There are 30 words. In Hebrew, there are 16 words. Psalm 117 is not only the shortest psalm, but it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. And it's also the middle chapter of the Bible. A good question for a quiz, which we may see why have from time to time. How many chapters are there in the Bible? 1,189. So Psalm 117 is the 595th. So there are 594 chapters before this and 594 after it. Some today can tell you very little. If you ask them in the street how many books are in the Bible, could they tell you? Indeed, in the newsletter, in the church page, as it thought for the week, there was a minister writing on the Bible, and he referred to the Bible as having 65 books. There were no letter afterwards objecting, pointing out his mistake. I wonder what book of the Bible he had left out. Which book is most neglected in the Bible? Isn't it the Psalm book? The Psalms of David, the Psalms that we rejoice in, the Psalms that Jesus sung. Well, I don't know who that was. I did know the minister, for his name was there, and I may meet him sometime. But there was a time when you would have had two psalms and two hymns in Presbyterian worship. Then it began to be only one. And I think now it's seldom there may even be a psalm used. This area of the Bible, it's very interesting. The middle verse is Psalm 118, verse 8. And how many verses are in the Bible? There's another quiz question. How many verses? 31,102. I used to read J.P. Struthers, but the books are no longer in my possession. I parted with them, and he was very good at statistics, such as I have given you. Whether I've got these facts from long ago or not, I don't know, but I like to look at the facts that I have. So that with the division of the Bible into its books and chapters and verses, it's easy for us to look up the place. And I like to see worshippers having a Bible open when the Word of God is opened up to us here in the church. Indeed, in the Covenanter Flats, I'm about the only one that has a Bible at the prayer meeting or even at the church services on the second and the fourth Sabbaths. I have tried at times to have that remedied, because it's God's book, and God has a word for each one of us. So as I have already said, Psalm 117, it's not only the shortest chapter in the Bible, but it's the middle chapter. So here we have the very core and center of divine revelation. How interesting. What has God to say to us? Well, to me, there are two reasons given why we should praise the Lord. Others who have come here, the nine, have given good reasons as to their preferences and so on. Well, the psalmist gives us two reasons why he's praising the Lord. First of all, because of his love, or as the New King James puts it in the prose, his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the gospel reveals that salvation is not through our efforts or merits or what we deserve, but through divine mercy and grace. And what mercy that God sent his only begotten Son. The season of the years reminded us of that. But so many have made so much of the child. But we need to go on to Calvary and to the open tomb and to the Christ who's coming again. Paul, in writing to Titus, reminded him of what we were by nature, what he was, and all of us. For we ourselves were once foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the description of what we were. But, and thank God for this but and other buts in Scripture, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then we see the second reason for praise, because of God's truth. The truth of the Lord endures forever, as the prose version puts it. God's word is truth. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And by nature we are deceitful, full of falsehood, but the Spirit leads us into the whole truth as it is in Jesus. And the truth of the Lord it endures forever. We're to praise the Lord. His word is truth. It's not like the Lord himself. It's like the Lord himself. And leads us to praise him. Indeed, the two reasons here for praise, the grace of God and the truth, we have it early in John's gospel. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have them incarnate in him, the one who's full of grace and of truth. And he has accomplished our salvation by his blood. He has revealed the whole of God's grace and of the truth. No wonder then the psalmist exhorts us to praise the Lord. Indeed, we cannot do otherwise when we know him as Savior, as Lord. Amen. So we conclude our time of praise singing from part C of the 117th Psalm, on page 288, from all that dwell below the skies. O let Jehovah's praise arise. Let his glorious name be sung in every land by every tongue. And the tune is Remington 28. And after the singing, please remain standing for prayer and for the benediction.
Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we return thanks for those nations that have had missionaries amongst them and who have done a good day's work and who have brought many to a saving knowledge of Christ, and they are singing your praises. There were those even through the years from this congregation as well as other congregations, and we still have workers abroad. We have them in Spain and also France, and we pray again for the whole work of Christ. We come, O Lord, this Sabbath evening to this service, and we rejoice again in those who came forward here and announced the praise and who made the comments on the same. And we thank you for the presence of visitors here from other congregations, and we pray again your blessing upon them and upon all of us, so that we may ever be full of the joy of the Lord as our strength. We thank you again that you have, who have lifted us from the fearful pit and from the miry clay, you have set us on the rock, and you have given us a new song. O Lord, we pray that we may ever show forth the praise of him who called us out of darkness into your own marvelous light. Again, bless us further tonight as we have tea, and we pray that through this that we may be able to converse together in the things that interest us and the things pertaining to our own families or congregations and the things especially pertaining to Jesus Christ and his grace towards us. Hear and answer and pardon us again all our unworthiness and all our many sins and failures as we ask it all, ascribing to you the glory. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.